How do we do this? I'm going to do this. There we go. Hi. Good evening. So last Sunday evening, we started a new series here at our evening services talking about how can I change. And we started last week recognizing that there is a gap between who we are and who we are supposed to be as children of God, as those redeemed by the blood of Jesus, as those adopted into the household and family of God, as those who are holy because we belong to Jesus Christ. A gap between that and who we are and how we live day to day, who we are on a daily basis. And we realize that part of, even one of the most important parts of why we have been saved, why we have been redeemed, is for us to grow, to become more and more like Jesus, to get to work in that gap, to begin to close that gap a little bit with the help of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2 says, "For it's by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are Christ's workmanship for good works, which he prepared in advance, that we may walk in them." And so this is part of the reason that we are redeemed, that God is more and more glorified by us as we become more and more like Jesus. So we've already talked about how there's a gap between who we are in Christ and how we live on a daily basis, and that those gaps need to close. They are what needs to change. As the Christian counselor and author Paul David Tripp puts it, we all live on the continuum between slavery and freedom. Sin is deceitful and alluring precisely because it promises the kind of freedom that we can only have in Christ. It promises a freedom that it can never deliver because sin is designed to lead us into bondage. And yet, even when we realize that there is a need for change, we still often turn to counterfeits in the hope of achieving that change. Our sins promise that we can avoid chaos, live in freedom, and keep our own agendas and our own pride intact. Even in acknowledging our need for change, we need to be wary of false promises for that change. So tonight we're going to read from Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, we're going to read verses 6 through 8. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Let's pray. Father, we know that there is a real difference, a real deficit between who you have redeemed us to be, between the perfect character and love of your Son, and who we are on a daily basis. We know that we are holy because you have taken us and set us apart to belong to you. You have given us faith, you have given us the Holy Spirit, and you have given us the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. We know that you have called us to be and to live according to what you have already made us. And so we pray that we would want that change, want that transformation, be excited at the prospect of becoming more like our Redeemer. And we know that even in acknowledging the change needs to happen, that we can very easily go about it our own way, to pursue it for our own ends, to try to keep our pride intact. So help us. Show us true repentance, true faith. Show us the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Open your word to us tonight to show us our false and hollow hopes, our false promises for change that we so easily believe. And in exposing those missteps to us, show us at least the beginning of the path to God-honoring, Spirit-wrought change in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul warns the Colossian Christians not to be taken captive by hollow and deceptive philosophy. It's a warning to live with their eyes open to the cultural influences that seek to gain allegiance, our allegiance, when we are not paying attention. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ, or according to the elemental principles of the world, and not according to Christ. The idea is this, that we are meant to have our minds renewed, right? According to God's truth, that it's one of the Spirit's works inside of us. And yet, there is this whole collection of beliefs, of practices, of underlying foundational principles about who we are, why we're here, what our potential is, who we are and what we are on the inside that is there all around us, that permeates the beliefs of everybody around us. Not according to the Scriptures, not according to Christ, not according to the Holy Spirit, but they are there. And if we simply allow ourselves to sort of absorb what is commonly believed and held about who we are and why we're here from the world around us, this is what Paul is warning about not being taken captive by hollow hopes, by deceitful philosophy. When taken captive by hollow philosophy, we usually end up believing one or several of a few things. There is a gap in my life that needs to change. We recognize this. So what needs to change, and why does it need to change, and how does it change? And even having recognized this need in our lives, we often apply those elemental spirits, those elemental principles of the world around us to the things that we recognize are wrong in our lives. A few things, common things that are said and believed when we recognize things need to change. What needs to change? My circumstances. That's my real problem. Right. This one, I think, is maybe the most common. If I'm having money problems, it's because I'm not getting paid enough. It's my employer's fault. I feel like I'm pretty sad now, but if I could just find someone and get married, everything will be fine. life is pretty hard right now, but if I could just get out of this marriage, everything would be fine. If I could just lose a few pounds, get that new haircut, get an entirely new wardrobe, I will start to like myself better. Right. If something is wrong in my life, the problem is with my circumstances. I need to change what's going on in my life around me in order to fix my problem, in order to see the change that I really want. Things external to me are what really need to change. I need to change my situation. This has been our explanation since the garden. Adam and Eve sin. They go against God. They listen to the advice of the serpent, the temptations of the serpent. God, they hear God walking in the garden. They feel ashamed. They run away and they hide themselves. God finds them and he speaks to them and he speaks to Adam and he says, "Why did you do what I told you not to do?" And he says, "The woman that you gave me, she gave me fruit and I ate." And God comes to the woman. He says, "Why have you done this?" And she says, "The serpent tempted me and I ate." It's not me. There's not a problem inside of me that needs to be fixed. What needs to be fixed is what is going on around me. What we end up doing is placing the blame for our sin at God's doorstep, which, by the way, is explicitly what Adam does when God comes to him. The woman that you gave me, she gave me the fruit. And I ate. It's the circumstances you gave me that made me do what I do. And we miss redemption because there's really nothing to be forgiven for. Because all of the problems are external to me. It's everyone else and everything else that needs fixing. Not me, not my heart. What needs to change? My circumstances? Or what needs to change? My thinking. And this seems to make sense. Sometimes we do wrong things because we think the wrong thing, right? But just as often, and I think this is especially true for Christians, just as often, we think the right things, we know the right thing to do, and we do something wrong all the same. You'll often see an ad on TV or on the web or something like that. I almost said radio, and that really, I guess I'm even old. But you'll often see an old diagnosing a problem in society, right? Racism or domestic abuse or sexually transmitted infections, all terrible things that need to be dealt with. The solution offered almost invariably is an education program, right? We do wrong things because we don't know any better. If we knew better, we would always do the right things. Which has at its core, at its foundation, an assumption that we are neutral things and our hearts are neutral things. We want to do the right thing. We want to do what's right. We just don't know how, or we just don't know what it is. And if we can fill in that gap, that knowledge gap, if we can fill in the ignorance, it will fix all of our problems. The problem is, our problems go much deeper than simple ignorance. There is something wrong. Not just in our lack of knowledge, but there is something wrong in our hearts that needs to be fixed. And by the way, in the Christian world, we can fall into this thinking too. Not sort of about how an education program is the fix to everything, but we can just as easily believe that any problem in the way that we live, the way that we act, is a problem in thinking. That if I can fix the way that I think, I'll do the right thing. If we have a problem with anger and a short temper, we're told to memorize a number of verses on anger. Anytime you feel like you're getting angry, you feel starting to bubble up, you want to lash out at your kids, you just recite those few Bible verses to yourself. It'll fix your thinking, and so you'll act the right way. Now, we do need to know God's word, and its instruction serves us well. It's necessary for us. But if there is a deep-seated issue with anger, again, it runs deeper than not knowing a few Bible verses. It runs deeper than not simply being able to bring them to mind when we feel angry. It runs deeply into our hearts. We need to be transformed from the inside out, including the mind, but not only the mind, our hearts too. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So maybe my circumstances need to change. My thinking needs to change. Or we say my self-concept needs to change. This is our society, our world's key message. And it's one that is increasingly gaining traction in Christian circles. The message of embracing who we are by nature and empowering ourselves. Believe in yourself. You can do and be anything you set your mind to. You're a good person. You just need to go for it. We begin with the assumption that our hearts are empty and neutral things that need to be filled with the proper motivation. But our hearts, as we've said, are deceptive things, already filled with desires for everything except the true and living God. It is true that guilt and shame and self-loathing can hinder change. It is true that they can work against us. It is true that there is a place and a time to work against those things. But we need to embrace who we are in Christ, see ourselves as He sees us, and follow and become like Him. And that is very different from embracing and becoming who we are by nature. So maybe it's our circumstances, our thinking, our self-concept, last, our behavior. And this is the one that we default to. This is the one, there's so much truth to it, and yet it doesn't quite go far enough. Eventually, we might be willing to acknowledge that something within me needs to change. I need to work on my self-control. I need to be more patient. I should get to know my neighbors better. That's probably all true. But if we leave the diagnosis of our problem at the level of actions, we will never go after the things within our hearts that push us to continue in those actions. We will deal with the symptom rather than the disease. We might end up listening to Jesus about our actions, but we won't let Him go to work on our hearts. And this is where we're headed in our discussion. That it is more than just the way that I think, more than just what's going on around me, more than just even just the things that I do that needs change. There is a transformation that needs to happen from the heart out. And this is where Paul goes in Colossians as well. He goes on to say that the fullness of deity dwells in Christ, and we are full in Christ. That we have that same fullness through Him. That when our trespasses were nailed to the cross, God also disarmed the rulers and authorities. He put the lie to all of our hollow hopes. And He gave power through the Holy Spirit to die to ourselves and to live to Christ. And any true hope for change is going to be found there. We'll start talking about that next time. Let's pray. Father, we are often willing to let You have our thoughts, to let You have our actions, but we are terrified of letting You go to work on our hearts. So help us to be honest with ourselves that it's not merely our circumstances that need to change. It's not merely the other people in our lives that need to change. Not merely the way we think, and not even merely simply the way that we act, but our loves need to be rearranged and redirected. So it's a scary prayer, but we pray that you will help us to open up those deepest desires of our lives and our hearts, to have surgery done on them by you. Help us to be honest, vulnerable, full of faith and trust, knowing that you will not do us harm. That you will make us who you have made us and redeemed us to be, your children, conformed to the image of your Son. It's in his name, in Jesus' name, that we pray. Amen.